Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. This is Melissa Enoch-DeBerry with Talk with Trinity, a show that is dedicated to the education, enrichment, and enlightenment of all people. I am Melissa. I'm a licensed clinical addiction specialist working with Trinity Counseling Services, Charlotte and Burlington. Our address is 1801 North Tryon Street, Suite 311B, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28206. And 508 Holly Hill Lane, Suite 102E, Burlington, North Carolina, 27215. We just want to thank God this morning for his safety. We just thank God for his protection. We just want to thank God that we were saved through the night, through the powerful windstorm, and we pray for those persons who may have been hurt or even killed as a result of the tornadoes. God, we just pray that as we go about our day, that you give us wisdom, you give us knowledge, and you give us instruction in order for us to be able to gain what we need to gain from our life. And for Jesus' name we pray. Did you find it? All right. This is February the 25th. I'll pull over here to that. This is February. I don't need it. This is February the 25th. This is our last installment of relationships. The discussion about relationships and the resolutions that were made earlier in the year. We want to kind of do a wrap-up of what we have talked about or discussed throughout the month. And then in March is Mental Health Month, Women's History Month, and it is the month that is going to be Easter. So we may be talking about things having to do with mental health, things about women, and about Easter, the resurrection, things such as that. What we have been talking about for the past month is relationships and how substance abuse relates to it. I believe on our first week, we talked about some relationship issues. And then the second week, we talked about reasons that individuals get married, and then we talked about substance abuse and intimate relationships on our third week. And on this last week, we want to talk about the family in recovery. There are some terms that are discussed when you talk about family systems, when you think about substance use in the families. If you just think about addiction itself, you have the Jelinek model, you have the medical model, you have various models. Basically, this says that as the use increases, tolerance increases, that it causes an effect on the individual who is drinking or who is using, but it also causes an effect on the family. The family systems model believes that in order to treat substance abuse, you must treat the family as a whole and not in part, simply because individuals adopt roles as the individual who is chemically dependent begins to use or continues to use, but even goes even further to establish the fact that individuals come together in a relationship from their families of origin. And where that happens is, it says there's a pattern of behavior that is started to address what may be needs, and then it progresses. You begin to use in order to address those needs. It is a temporary relief, then there are consequences, and then the cycle begins. When you look at some of the reasons that there are 18 addictive agents, and I've listed these on my website, trinitycounselingcharlotte.com, as is the outline for this discussion. I make that available to you at the conclusion of the program, and many of the things that we are discussing in learning about the family and recovery are things that we have looked at in the past, in past episodes. You're welcome to listen through the archives. I have to think about what episodes that we've talked about these things, but we basically talk about them about every week. But one of the things that, say, for the example, in the Jelinek model, you have where the individual begins to drink and use, make reference to oftentimes in group with the timeline. We ask, what is the first time you used, who was it with, and how Did we do that? We also talked about as far as the timeline goes for individuals that may have experienced disability, grief, loss earlier on in their family, the family changed as a result of it, which then established the different morals, the different values, the behaviors that were created by the time that the individual was 4 or 5, and then any type of that type of a foundation is built, and then they respond to it accordingly. So, for example, if it says the individual by the time that they are 4 years old are a mini version of themselves, the stages of trust versus mistrust when they're young. The trust being learned from if the mother or father was fully present, able to provide for the person as far as eating and making sure that they are safe. And then what is built upon that is then self-doubt or autonomy. By the time the child is 1 or 2, learning to walk, learning to talk, learning to speak, learning to interact with the family. And then upon that is built competence or achievement, which basically you learn self-esteem by the time that you are 4. And either you learn it positively or you learn it negatively. And then the individual's life is built upon that type of foundation. So anything, whether it's drugs and alcohol, any kind of grief, abuse, any kind of trauma, any of those things that may affect that early foundation, then the individual gains an understanding from the family. And then once they begin to interact with peers, they either feel comfortable with their peers or they feel uncomfortable. They either feel secure with their family, they feel insecure. And then upon that, they either feel safe or unsafe. And then they either feel a part of the group or not a part of the group. So when they get older, or as they get older, they begin to seek out either opportunities of fun, especially when there may be some strictness, the strictness coming from the family that may not want to involve themselves in different behaviors, or it may be not being strict enough and not, you know, not providing any kind of discipline, any kind of responsibility, or any kind of those things that the individual need early on. And then as they grow, when they begin to interact with their family members or interact with their peers, then what they say, well, okay, this is what is fun. If my mother or father doesn't allow me to do that, or they allow me to do too much. Then if there's an aspect of needs of freedom from the moral values or freedom from what is presented in their families when they interact with their peers, they begin certain behaviors that relieve whatever they're receiving at home, or it may be power. They didn't feel they had any kind of control within the family, and they find themselves interacting with their friends, then there's a control issue, or they just want to be a part of a group because maybe they feel alienated by their family or alienated by their interactions with their earlier relationships. And then they become involved with other individuals, or there may be just a survival. And so if you introduce drugs and alcohol into any of those needs or the desire for them early in their lives, they are affected physically, they're affected mentally, and they're affected emotionally, they're affected spiritually, and then it establishes the framework for what will happen as far as an individual drinking or using, and then they're going to grow comfortable with the groups that they become involved in. And depending on when an individual starts to do any of those things, then other behaviors, other addictive qualities may come out. This is where people say, oh, I have an addictive personality, or the things that I went through with my family has caused me to pick up or drink. And then if you try to present any type of education that says that that may or may not be true, then that's their reality. And it goes against it, and you can't really present that. So all that you can do is present some alternatives, but those only come later. And then as an individual progresses into what may be a problematic area or on the Jelinek model where it says that then there's a problem, so the individual may begin to hide, lie, manipulate, or blame, or do any of the other behaviors that allow them to continue to drink or to use or to do things to excess, and the families not know what it is that the individual is doing. That becomes a problem only when there's a consequence, whether it be in school or work or financially. And so if they find themselves in their families and they begin to hide, they'll hide with other groups, other friends that may be doing the same thing. And then if the consequences aren't dire or they don't find themselves struggling with their families because of it, short stays with kids. In groups, sometimes I have young adults who they maybe get in trouble with marijuana in school and have to go through a program, an educational program, to learn the consequences of their actions. Well, when they enter into the group, their parents oftentimes pay for it because they don't want to see their child being affected by, or their lives being affected, or their school being affected, or their careers being affected by what were stupid mistakes. And so they'll pay for it. And then the young people, the parents don't ever come to groups, and I don't hear what the young people say, but they will have paid for it. And they basically think that the whole thing was stupid, and that they, it really is not that serious. And then they, either go on and finish their education and not get it, not deal with any more trouble, or may get into more trouble. It all depends. So if it was to be a problem situation, okay, you drank too much that you ran into the campus police, or you got caught with paraphernalia or any of that, that's a legal problem that is somewhat serious. But if the families kind of say, well, that's what you do when you're in college, or that's what you do when you're in school, then because that's what they did, then that is a pattern of behavior that should be a problem, but is not realized to be a problem. And then if they say, well, all of my friends, then anytime you say all of your friends, then that seems like a problem, because if that's what your friends are doing, then all of them are getting into trouble, and it may be hard to provide that type of education. And then if they develop these relationships earlier on, then these be the relationships that they'll have later. And so as it progresses, it can just stay there for, any amount of time. Problems at work, getting fired from jobs. When you're young and you get fired from a job, it's one thing. Then when you get older and you get fired from a job because of the same thing, it's different. When I do evaluations with individuals, say that, maybe driving trucks or cars, and they have DWIs or get caught with positive drug tests, then they are conflicted with losing their job. There again, they come in the group and they say, well, okay, it's not that serious. Things happened. It was the Super Bowl, or, was hanging out with friends. Well, that's another level of the addiction and alcoholism, where they have tolerance, or they the work is being affected, or family is being affected, or finances are being affected. And then if there's family members assist them in overcoming these situations, then their lives, the substance abuse and how it affects intimate relationships, because what is now established is you have the person that is using, and you have those who are enabling, and then you have those who step up to the plate to assist, whether it be their boss, whether it be the hero, them themselves being the mascot, someone being the scapegoat, which is the person who originally allowed them to drink and use or get blamed for different situations, or just maybe separate themselves from the family. So the roles of the family are already established once they have entered into the problem stage. And then as the addiction progresses, depending on the response of all individuals who are involved, you enter into what will be the crucial stage, and with it, you begin to have more and more problems, which, when we were talking about relationship issues when the person is confronted with their use, they may argue or become argumentative or maybe become abusive and may not want to hear what the individual says. And if the individual in the relationship is familiar with that and has an understanding of it, then they may maybe respond it one way or they may respond another. So those are some of the relationship issues, decision-making, and things such as that, which will all come about once you enter into the process of the developmental process of recovery. And so the things that are observed in the crucial stage with individuals, which also affects the family, is now the person, as far as the substance use disorder diagnosis, maybe are having withdrawal symptoms when they don't use. They are unable to stop or cut down. They definitely have tolerance. They may meet the criteria for not managing what they should or maybe even giving up what they should, careers. And they are spending more time drinking and using. And once you have met 4 or 5 of the criteria, you're now moderate. And then if you are using, despite knowing that you have a physical or psychological problem, which if there was anxiety from the beginning or depression from the beginning or attention deficit from the beginning or any medical conditions from the beginning, then using, drinking and using has an effect on that, and depending on what your response is, it may get more crucial, may begin to see some hospitalizations, maybe not taking medication as prescribed, maybe not interacting with many people, maybe not maintaining jobs, maintaining finances. And so once you are meeting at least 6 or more of the diagnostic manual 5 criteria for a substance use disorder, whether it be alcohol or marijuana, cocaine or heroin, or even beginning to display some co-occurring disorders such as anxiety or depression, or obsessive compulsive, any mood disorders, personality disorders, and the social behavior, anything, those now are happening and needing to be managed, and it needs to be managed medically and needs to be managed with longer-term treatment, which then removes the individual from the family, removes the individual from being responsible or productive. And then depending on if there were already issues in the relationship, or there were already reasons why they originally got together, then these are exacerbated by these different behaviors that are increasing as the time has gone on. And so then the crucial stage is when individuals are affected morally, individuals are affected physically, mentally, and emotionally, and it begins to worsen as time has gone on. And in treatment, it may require maybe inpatient or longer-term outpatient treatment to address how the addiction to alcohol originally started and how to maintain it and enter into sobriety. One of the first criteria for entering into the process of recovery is an honest desire for help. Again, this show is sponsored by Trinity Counseling Services, Charlotte and Burlington, 1801 North Tryon, Suite 311B, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28206, and 508 Holly Hill Lane, Suite 102E, Burlington, North Carolina, 27215. Phone numbers are 704-333-2446 and 336-675-0075. And again, if you have any questions, you can email at melissatrinitycounseling@gmail.com. You're welcome to go onto the website, trinitycounselingcharlotte.com. We have some information about our group, what our program is all about, and how we provide services. We offer a free 30-minute screening to determine maybe what level or what other help can be done to see what the extent of the individual's use. We can do that. We can do a complete an assessment, a complete biopsychosocial assessment. We are a private facility, so that it is at cost. I am on a couple of insurance panels, Aetna is one of them. And yeah, we could file the insurance, or we can give you an invoice for your insurance in order to cover both assessments and maybe some individual counseling to see if that would assist or see if that would help. And then we can move on to other referrals that may be necessary. If you have any questions, you can email those questions. We can make an attempt to answer them. We are located in North Carolina. However, if you are out of state, the same thing applies as far as counseling goes, the assessment, although the assessment may be termed differently as far as an evaluation, as far as the facility that you're able to go to, but there are counselors, as long as they're licensed either by the state or licensed naturally through NADAC or some of the other accrediting bodies, they can assist with helping individuals either individually, by family. You are a counselor that is listening and you have a service that you'd be willing to take in new patients and help work with the families in order to address these issues, then we may ask and invite you to send your information as well. I'm trying to educate so that individuals will be well aware of what will be expected once they enter into any form of counseling, things, the questions that are going to be asked, the intakes that are going to be completed. And if it is a goal of yours, as far as resolution goes, to develop a closer relationship with your family, but know that it's been affected by behaviors not just limited to alcohol and drugs, but to other addictive agents such as work or achievement, you know, you can't work too much, you can't perform, you know, want to perform too much. Those are the addictive agents that individuals that do affect the family. Similar, may not be as costly financially, but it is costly as far as relationship goes. But when you enter into recovery, you have an honest desire for help, which is an individual makes an admission that their situation is what it is, and being step one is we admitted that we were powerless over our addiction and that our lives have become unmanageable, and admitting what that unmanageability is the first step. And knowing that there is a solution, so you admit the problem, if there is a solution for it, and maintaining open-mindedness in order for the help to be received, it can come from attending self-help meetings. You think, what is the value of going to an individual to talk and share with them when I talk and share with my family, but it's to reorganize the family. Because once you understand the family system, then the family members that you're talking to may not have a full understanding or may enable the situation or maybe being blamed for the situation. So to have an unbiased individual involved in the treatment process is a necessity in order for the health of the family as a whole, for the health of the individuals that are involved. And so once you've admitted that there's a problem and realize that there is help, which is they came to believe that a power greater than yourself can restore to sanity, acknowledging the insane things that have occurred and know that there is a power, the power being, just admitting that things have gone wrong, and then having the willingness, which is made a conscious decision to turn the will and life over to care of God as you understand Him. And knowing God is love, the relationship was built upon love, and that in order to progress in recovery. So once the person enters into recovery, things will be good. Initially, you think things will change immediately. You enter into what is known as the honeymoon stage, and the honeymoon stage is where everything is good. That normally lasts about 2 weeks. And then the reality stage comes next, which is from the 2 weeks to probably about 30 to 60 days. During that reality state, individuals think that things should automatically change. But, of course, if you've been drinking or using any extended period of time, things aren't going to change automatically. Things are going to require time in order to change. That's the high time for me left, because when things get stressful, life gets hard, terms, these are all things that you hear in recovery. Living life on life's terms is difficult, specifically when you no longer have the anesthesia or the drug or the alcohol that has helped to can tie those things away over any extended period of time. And if you're able to maintain, so what some of the therapist's tasks during that is to stay focused, make goals, continue to instead of be contemplation, not knowing it is an issue, but thinking through the detriment that the alcohol and drugs has caused, and then enter into some decision-making or developing a plan, writing those things down, journaling. Some of the assignments is how much has been spent as a result of drinking and using. Try to do that one assignment with individuals, and once they observe the true extent, it can either cause some anxiety, some frustration, but we press through it by saying, okay, you may have lost those things, but we can work to rebuild them and just know that this is a lifelong, goal and not anything that's going to be solved immediately. And then once the person gets through that, they enter the decision-making stage, which is oftentimes from 60 days to 6 months. If you attend any self-help meetings, during that period of time, they give tips for when walking in the door, 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, and during it, and up to 6 months, and then you get another one at 1 year. At six months, individuals often see that they've accumulated money where they had lost money, and they be saying, well, what do I do with this money that I've accumulated? And the suggestion is not to go out and make more bills. It may cause more stress, not to quit careers and not to quit relationships, but to continue to press on because you don't want to make any type of rash decisions based on emotions simply because now things appear clearer. At 9 months, I can do it myself, which is another high time for relapse where individuals say, well, I've been clean and sober for this long. I can just have one drink or I can just have one hit or whatever. And that is the therapist goes through the decision-making and the I can do it myself is to make reminders about the things, the accomplishments, and the goals that were originally set. And then once you get to the 12 months to 18 months, says if you make it to 12 months to 18 months, in sobriety, that you pretty much are good physically, no longer really having any kind of the withdrawal effects or any kind of the physical effects. Now simply working on the mental and the emotional, even the spiritual losses that have occurred as you progress in addiction and alcoholism. And then there lies where the individual, the counselor, comes in to play again because beginning to help individuals work on things that have happened throughout their addiction career or throughout their criminal career. Their work with individuals and recovery can be found in all of those areas. And once you have done all of that, it doesn't stop there. If you've been 30 years in drinking and using, the suggestion is 30 months of treatment. It's staggering when you go from being totally immersed to stepping down to maintenance, and maintenance can be once a month, once every 3 months, once every 6 months. And so I hope that this information has helped. The process of recovery is for individuals and for family members. The same type of stages occur in all. Again, my name is Melissa Enoch DeBerry. Talk with Trinity, a show that is dedicated to the education, enrichment, and enlightenment of all persons. We just want to thank God for the wisdom, knowledge, and instruction that is allowed through our conversations that we have on a weekly basis. We look forward to sharing with you the first week of March. And again, this is Melissa. Everyone have a safe and happy day. Amen.